What is up, boys and girls, and welcome back to another episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I told you we would have some fantastic guests on this podcast leading up into the NFL season, and we have yet another fantastic guest here on Laying the Points with Farley Betts. The past few weeks, you heard from Patrick Gates, you heard from Kate Constable, you heard from Jake Circus, and we're all talking NFL. We're talking a little Olympics. We talked a little WNBA with Kate Constable too, but mainly sticking to NFL previews as we prepare for the upcoming NFL season. My name is Chris R. Farley. At Farley Betts is where you can find me on Twitter. 5 years in the professional betting space on Twitter, writing for all kinds of sites and all kinds of shows the past few years. Of course, that 2021 Circa win, fifth place, kind of catapulted me a little bit. And we've been taking advantage of it since. This podcast, Laying the Points with Farley Betts, has been running for 3 seasons. And I appreciate all my loyal followers and listeners. Please tell your friends about it. And please subscribe. You know, give us a rating. Give us those 5 stars for Laying the Points with Farley Betts so we can keep on elevating for you and giving out free picks and great sports betting information. Today, we have a fantasy football guru on the show. She also bets. She's a savage in every way, but she's a fantasy football guru mainly. I would like to welcome, you can follow her at FQueenRoxanne on Twitter. She is the queen. That's how we're going to refer to her on today's show, Queen Roxanne. She's a writer for Club Fantasy FFL, a football, basketball, and hockey bets for the sports affiliation. And like I said, she comes to you with a wealth of fantasy football knowledge, which we don't have a lot on this podcast, mainly just sports betting, which we're also going to get into that a little bit too for the NFL season. But I would just like to welcome everybody, Queen Roxanne. How's it going, Queen? Nice first time on Laying the Points.
Thank you for having me. Yes, it's going good. Thank you finally for having me on. We finally got this done. It took a lot of conflicts.
Yeah, last week, for some reason, the internet connection would not agree with us. I don't know what was going on. Probably my end, you know, as I'm surrounded by water out here. It's a little bit of a weird situation I'm in. But Roxanne, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into the betting and fantasy football space? Where did it all start? You know, what is your origin story, so to speak?
I worked with more men than I did women years ago, probably 2010 to 2015. And
the worst men.
Every Monday morning, everybody'd come in and we'd all talk about sports. And the year the Ravens beat us in overtime in the AFC game, or to go to the AFC game? No, it was the AFC game. We were so devastated that next Monday going in. It was horrible. And one of the guys was like, hey, do you want to play fantasy football with us next year? I'm like, what's that? And he told me about it. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And I played with them. It was all guys. I was the only girl. I got second place my first year. And none of them liked me after that because they didn't like somebody that maybe like did some research and kind of – and the way their rosters were structured, it was kind of easier to have good players and stuff. So – that's how I got into fantasy. My first pick ever in fantasy football was Tom Brady. And that's why, obviously, I love him so much. And obviously.
Pretty good pick. Pretty solid, yeah. I would say. Was it a first round? You picked quarterback in the first round?
Yeah. Because it was a super flex. And I didn't know. Like, I just wanted Tom Brady. And it was like either running back, Adrian Peterson, I'm pretty sure was probably the number one pick that year with Tom Brady, you know, as a running back. And I didn't take him that year. The next year I did, and that's when he got suspended for the beginning of the year.
Yeah, of course.
And I straight away from Tom Brady.
Tom had that next year, too, though. He came out with a vengeance.
Right. And I didn't have him in that league, and I was very sad. So that's how I got into fantasy football. And I actually still play with those guys. Our draft is August 24th. The guy that actually got me into fantasy football, he died last year, like in October, November. And his son messaged me and was like, hey, my dad would want you to take over his team in fantasy. You want to run it? And of course I said yes. So I ran it. I think I got second or third place. I couldn't win because I picked stupid quarterbacks for playoffs. They play through the playoffs and Super Bowl. So it doesn't end at week 16, 17 normal weeks.
Where you live and you learn and you keep on climbing the ranks. Now, let me ask you this. Do you enter any like big contest during the season? Like, I know obviously every week there's daily fantasy, you have season long fantasy, so you can join your own league. But are there, I mean, in this betting world of budding contests everywhere, right? You got things like Best Ball on DraftKings, Are you entering any big contests as well?
Nothing big. I'll play the $5, $10, even $25 ones, and not a lot. Like, you know, there's these people that enter $150 max.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing it. I'd rather save my money for weekly bets. That's just me. But I like to put in numerous cheap ones. Yes.
Yes, yes.
No big
yes.
ones. My yeah. biggest bet this season, or anything to do with fantasy or anything, I have a Circa draft August 22nd in Vegas. And that's a big one. That's $350 entry fee.
Okay. Well, so you're going to Vegas for that.
Oh, yeah.
Circa. Circa is the Mecca. So have you been there before? I'm sure you have.
Nope. I mean, I've been to Vegas. I've been to Circa. I have never stayed at Circa. So I'm super excited to stay there.
I tell you, stadium pool is everything yeah. that people say that it is, for sure.
I got a day bed for a day, too.
You have a what? A day,
a day bed for a day there. So.
Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah, that is, no, that's pristine. Like, that is, it's everything that people say it is. You know, you see the pictures of it and stuff, and you're like, well, yeah. it looked pretty sick. You get there, it's actually even sicker, you know, because yeah. the screens are so big, there's so many pools, you cannot have fun. You can spend too much money. I'll tell you that, Roxanne.
Always.
You spend way too much money. But yeah, that's a contest weekend too. So a lot of people entering into contests there in right. Vegas.
There'll be a lot of people there.
Great time to be there.
I have to leave Saturday though, because I have to come home for another draft here. That's the 24th. So I come home.
You're just drafting everywhere. Now, I didn't prep you for this question, so I apologize for that. But I do want to ask you, best ball. I don't know what best ball is. Like I even when you Google it, the explanation of it is just a little murky for me. So could you explain mm-hmm. it in like really dumb words for someone like me? Is best ball? So I think from what I understand is you set your lineup and that's it, right? It's at the beginning mm-hmm. of the season. You make
you
no changes. Am I wrong?
You don't have to set your lineup. So that's what best ball is. You draft like you normally would at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But then you don't do anything else after that. And you get, you know, your quarterback spot, your two running back, two wide receivers, tight end. Usually you don't have kicker and defenses. And some flex spots, maybe one or two. And one you can probably have another quarterback in. So you would draft just like you normally would a fantasy football team, round by round. There's a little bit difference in drafting best ball to regular fantasy. Like the later weeks, you want to make sure you're dominating in those. You want those teams that are pushing for, but you don't know who they're going to be, and right. you can't get those players later. Because once you draft your team, that's it. You don't
no
get
trades.
To pick up players. If somebody gets hurt, you don't get a new player.
Mm.
And then every week, the computer does this for you. Whatever player scores the most in each position, that's who's in your lineup.
Okay. That's what my.
So it automatically does it for you. So your highest score goes in your lineup.
Okay.
In each position.
That's what my brain was missing. I didn't know how it computated who wins on a week to week basis. But it's season long, right?
Yes.
It's based on
yes.
season long points.
It's just like fantasy, a normal
okay.
league. But
well,
you draft and then you forget about your league till the end
yeah.
of the year. You don't have to
that's
do anything.
Kind of nice.
It is very nice, and that's why these people, they get in. Like I said, the 150. Max, and they'll bet, you know, they'll do 150 lineups, and I'll do, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 even, but 150 numerous times seems excessive to me. I can't do it. I don't want
yeah,
that much. But again, you don't have to do anything. All you're doing is drafting. People love to draft, right? People love
right.
to draft. They think they know everything. They want to draft, and then the season comes and you see how it comes out. Say you take, I don't want to jinx anybody. I'm not going to say a name. The number one running back off the board, you know, and they get hurt that second game. You don't get another running back though. So say that was your number one stud. He's
yeah.
pretty much gone out of your lineup, and your best ball lineup is probably not going to be first place.
Gotcha.
It's
okay.
Much
well, that's
easier.
That's a really good explanation. The best I've heard. And I'm sure there are some listeners out there who joined me in that, who have never done best ball or wondering what it's all about. Thank you. You know, you need a queen on here. Sometimes you need royalty on here to explain things. And that's exactly what we got. So thank you for that. I put you on the spot, bright lights, and she delivered. Okay, I expect the same thing for the rest of our questions. And let's get to them, because I have a lot of questions for you. I've been talking a lot about the Buffalo Bills because I think they could take a step back. I mean, Josh Allen is the man. You know, Keon Cole, or their rookie wide receiver, Keon Coleman. Mm-hmm. Like, in the, like, all these names are circulating in my head right now, and I'm, like, mixing up last names, first names. But I think he's going to be good, but a lot is on him, right? They have Knox there, a tight end. But I think Josh Allen just might be in a more precarious situation this season. So I would love to hear your fantasy and betting outlook for the Buffalo Bills. And I also want to mention, you told me that, what was it, last season, you turned a $20 bet into a $700 win off of those Josh Allen interceptions. What, from which week to which week did that go? That's unbelievable.
I wish I could remember. I know it was started in like, ooh, probably four, right around there. And it went, I think it went eight games, but I did seven. I stopped. And I rolled over what I won every week with a profit at the end. So I profited $700, but, you know, whatever I won, also my bet from the week before, I got back. So it was close to $1,100 I got off a $20 bet total off Josh Allen's interceptions.
Wow.
Just rolling it over week to week. Is he going to do it again this year? I don't know. I hope he cleans it up. You know, Dak Prescott the year before, he had a lot of interceptions. He cleaned it up last year. I hope Josh Allen can, but I hope I can find the guy that throws it every week too.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's an impressive streak going on there. Okay, so what about these Buffalo Bills? The win totals at 10.5. The over is getting plus money, right? It's the under is very juiced at this point. It is. It's a lot of wins in an AFC East that's probably not going to have a very competitive Patriots team. But, I mean, who knows? The Patriots can surprise us too.
Right.
Depends what happened with their quarterback play. But you know, the AFC East is tough. And the Bills are still sitting at double-digit wins. What do you project for their season? Certainly a lot of talent, a lot of the continuity there still. And do you have any fantasy outlooks for what we should expect from Josh Allen and his supporting cast members?
For fantasy, Josh Allen is the number one quarterback because he runs a lot. That's good for us for fantasy. It's not good for him because he's just putting himself out there to get hurt.
Yeah.
Which is a big possibility. I always worry about that. But his rushing upside is the reason he is the number one quarterback being taken for fantasy right now. The interceptions, though, are a problem. That's, I thought I had it written down, but I don't. How many he total had last year? There was games he had 2 and 3.
Yeah, considerable.
So for fantasy, and if you lose points for every interception, you don't, you kind of are leery on taking Josh Allen, but somehow he's still number one because people think his rushing yards are going to make up for the interceptions thrown. Personally, I think he's going to be running less. I think they're going to tell him to chill out, and they're going to go to Cook. His yards are 925.5 for the year. I wish I would have looked what they were last year because I wrote everybody else's down. I'm sure it's close to that. I would bet that over because I don't think they're going to want Josh Allen to run as much. I don't think they're going to take the risk of him getting injured. They don't want that. His receivers, that's not a great situation. Coleman, yeah, they're banking a lot on him. Shakir, he's good. Samuel from the Washington team.
yeah, the Washington football team / Commanders, worst name ever. But yeah, go ahead.
I think Allen can turn him into a great receiver. Him and Coleman could be 1 and 2, possibly. That's where I'm going. I took a lot of Samuel in drafts.
He's definitely going to have an uptick in opportunity, right? I mean, especially from Washington where he came from.
Right.
Speedy little guy.
I think he's really good. Like I said, I've watched a lot of him in probably the last 3 months, few years. And I think him and Josh Allen, if they can get some good chemistry going, that could be his guy, his number one guy this year. Cause he's more, you know, he's got the veteran. I've been on the field. Coleman could get a little shaky, maybe, you know. You just don't know yet what's going to happen with him on an NFL field. Samuel's been on the field. So then you have Kincaid and Knox. Knox, obviously, is the veteran. Kincaid was amazing last year.
No more Gabe Davis either, right? Which is, you know, Curtis Samuel, like someone has to make up for those deep threats a little bit. Right? I mean, he wasn't always great, but he did provide that deep threat. He can get downfield.
If he wasn't such a – whatever, you know, problem, we'll just call him. I think he would have stayed and it could have been really good. So somebody, yeah, like you said, has to step in there. Samuel or Coleman, I'm going with one of those two, are going to become like, oh, wow, I should have drafted those people instead of.
Am I crazy for wanting to target Knox? Because what is it, Dalton Knox? Dawson Knox. Yeah. Is it crazy to target him too? Because such a big target, right? Like Stephon Diggs was at least that red zone target too, right? Not the biggest wide receiver, but he was physical. He could get open. If Keon Coleman isn't that guy, and he should be that guy, but this is the NFL, right? Like we can't expect these wide receivers necessarily to take off right away. Right. I think Knox could be a pretty consistent option. Already was somebody who, you know, he's been looking to, but a lot of two tight end sets, he's probably going to be in there in a lot of goal line situations. You know, I kind of like Dawson Knox to step up in those situations.
If you're taking
him, Dalton Kincaid, right? The two D's is what it is. Yeah.
Right.
The names, yeah. All these names, Roxanne. Every year in my podcast, I do this. My listeners are like, does this guy know the NFL? Yeah, I know the NFL, but I have about 1,000 names circulating through my head leading into the season. Go ahead. Right.
It's hard sometimes. I get pressed or like a flustered too with them. Like, oh, shit, that's not who I meant. Yeah. I'll take Knox in later rounds, but I'm not targeting Knox over Kincaid. I'm going to have Kincaid. And if Knox is available 6, 7, 8 rounds later because people don't want him for whatever reason, they think he's not going to get anything, I'm definitely taking him. I like the doing that with tight ends, the Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. If you can get both of them like in a best ball draft, that's where you would really target two tight ends like that. Because if Mark Andrews goes down, well, look, you got his backup. And Isaiah Likely did great last year.
Yeah.
That gray guy in Kansas City behind Kelsey, you know, if you have one or two picks there at the end of your draft and you're like, well, shit, somebody could get hurt, I'm going to take him. If you have a deep enough draft and you don't need maybe your backup, third backup to your running back, I don't know.
I like it. Okay, well, let's move on to your Denver Broncos. You said us before. You were referring to the Denver Broncos, I imagine, in their playoff situations. And happen to think that these Denver Broncos, who are at – they're at 5.5 right now, right? They're towards the bottom. I mean, they're right there with the Patriots and the Panthers, the lowest win totals in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing. But at the same time, I think markets might be undervaluing them a little bit. And I'll just briefly say this, you know, general statement is that Sean Payton, right, second year, he thinks he has his guy in Bo Nix. And Bo Nix is a seasoned starter, five seasons maybe. Mm-hmm. He started many seasons there at Oregon. And, you know, he's coming in as a seasoned quarterback, a dependable guy who knows how to throw the football. Cortland Sutton, last time I checked, is still a beast. They brought in some guys who I think could be really good. Josh Reynolds, Riley, he's a workhorse for them. You know, I think their running back committee could have a better year or two, kind of up and down last year. But again, it was an offense in flux. So I think these Broncos have a shot to at least surprise some people, surprise some teams this season. Am I just absolutely crazy, Queen Roxanne? Or do you think – now, because I know you probably have a little bit of bias, but at the same time, you're very hard on your Broncos. You're not going to just like them for no reason, right? So where do you stand with your Broncos betting outlook into the season?
Well, I'm going to pound the +110 over 5.5.
Pounding it. Love it.
Like you said, that's the bottom of the barrel there. If they name Bo Nix as our starter, this is, like you said, this is Peyton's guy. They got his Franklin, who was there at Oregon with him, who they love. They've been connecting in camp. Sutton is obviously like we've had not the seasons we've wanted with the first round pick for him, but he can grab those balls and catch them in the end zone out of nowhere. It's amazing. It doesn't happen often, but it does. And when it does, you're like, yes, that's what we need more of. Maybe he needs somebody that's not scared to throw the ball right now because it's his first year, and let's sling it. Let's see what you got. I also believe, though, with Peyton as the coach, that the running backs are going to get a lot of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously from New Orleans, that's what he did with Kamara. Kamara obviously was one of the best running backs in the league for a couple years under him. I think he likes Javonte. I think he likes Jaleel McLaughlin. Who the next one's going to be, I don't know. I think it'll be not Perrine. Who's the other guy? There's four. Anyways, those are going to be the top two.
That's
Williams
that's
and McLaughlin.
Depth chart.
And I have it, but I don't want
to. Javonte Williams is I mean, I thought he was ready to break out last year, but, you know, second year returning from injury is usually when we see a more significant uptick, right, in performance. Still a great back. Still, he was ready to explode.
Well, and like before camp started, like all the reports on the radios were he's not looking good, he's not in shape, you know, it's going to be McLaughlin's field, blah, 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 blah. And so then training camp started, and that wasn't the case at all.
Yep.
And Williams looks really good. And I didn't avoid him, but I wasn't targeting him in drafts a month ago. And now I'm like, I want Williams because of Peyton and because of what I know he can do with a running back. And if he didn't want Williams there, if he didn't like him, he would be gone. I mean, we've seen that. He's cutting people like yesterday he cut Caden Stearns out of nowhere. I know the guy gets hurt and he's not always available, but he got cut for the guy that got suspended last year that came back, that got reinstated, you know, just out of nowhere. If Peyton doesn't like you, you're not going to be there.
Yeah.
So he obviously likes Javonte. We're hearing a lot about McLaughlin. I think Javonte Williams is being very underrated now. I just came to the – and, again, they're my damn Broncos, so I might be a little biased. But I think the role of the running back is going to come back this year with Peyton here. And I think that that's what they're going to try to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to try to do. And I don't think 5.5 games is out of the question, damn it.
Six, right? I get to six,
right.
But yeah, it's
I
do think it's very doable. I mean, people forget too, a team that won 7 out of their last 11 games, they started really putrid last season, but finished with a winning record, right? I mean, 9-8,
and not
two different, exactly, two different quarterbacks, some controversial quarterback room, and somehow figured that out, even with a lot of injury, just a lot of reasons to think that they were going to have a far worse season. And Sean Payton had that team surging and a little frisky at the end of last season. So I like what you're saying. And I agree with you. I heard the same reports about Javonte Williams showing that burst that they did not expect,
right?
You know, similar to about 2 years ago. Right. So hopefully he stays healthy. I like Sean Payton. I mean, he's a Bill Parcells guy.
Right.
Sometimes I worry about coaches like that in the modern day NFL and how they're going to, you know, translate. Cause some of these kids are a little different, expecting to be treated a little differently, but I like that style of coach, but I'm old school Roxanne. So we shall see. Who's a fantasy sleeper that no one's talking about right now that you have on your radar as somebody who you kind of sneakily want to fit into your rosters and maybe no one else or a few people are thinking about?
Well, I don't think people believe in this person as much as I do. And it's Isaiah Pacheco with the Chiefs.
Mm.
Again, that wide receiver room there is jumbled. Worthy, Hollywood Brown, and Racy Rice. We don't know what's going to happen with him. He's probably not going to get suspended. I put a lot of stock in Racy Rice last year and the last half of the season, and he went off. I was betting his touchdowns. He was getting them for me. He finished a 4-leg parlay one night for me. It was amazing. I got to meet him at the Super Bowl and tell him he was on my team. Like, I've been pumping you. Like, I told him, you should go read my articles because I wrote about you every single week, like who you were going against and how you were going to exploit this cornerback. Like, I really believed in you. And then he went and got in trouble. It could be Rice and it could be Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown, I hyped that guy for years. I had him on every fantasy team. I loved him. He's older. He's not as young. He's got Worthy and Rice, and Worthy is fast. That's what he likes. He had Tyreek Hill. He liked that. He made Tyreek Hill amazing or whatever. I mean, he can take that and utilize that person the way they're supposed to be. Yeah. I don't know if he's Tyreek Hill. I know Racy Rice is good. I know he can catch the ball. That could be your sleeper. Hollywood Brown is going to be in there, but I just think his time has passed, unfortunately. I think his time has passed. But Pacheco, I think, is the guy that you want to. And here's the bet. It's 900.5 yards minus 115. And he ran for 935 last year. And they lost McKinnon. They didn't lose him. They got rid of him. So that's more targets for Pacheco. It's Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that generic Prince. Those are their three running backs. So who is going to get the most work there?
I know. And I was kind of surprised to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire kind of take a step back a little bit, right? Like he came in, like his rookie season was like, oh, this guy's going to be an ongoing factor for the Chiefs. Looked really good, but, you know, kind of regressed at the end of that season. And then here comes Isaiah Pacheco, who reminds me a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw when the Giants were getting to Super Bowls, you know, like my Giants, my team, as you know, because just like a very weird style to like try and stop with these like kind of up and down hops, and then he can just burst. And it's a very unique style. He's a strong running back, and I think he fits. You know, a lot of people look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right, and they're like Mahomes, Andy Reid, very creative, you know, very kind of flamboyant, but they don't want to be a flamboyant offense, and they often are not, right? They like to run it down your throat with someone like Isaiah Pacheco. So I love that as kind of a sleeper. I know that, I guess running backs don't hold the same value as they used to, right? But I like
here's
that.
Here's another thing with Pacheco. He plays the Broncos twice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop runners. Obviously, people break records on us. If he could get like 300 yards out of those two games, that 900.5 blown out of the water. Because like I said, he ran for 935 last year. I don't understand why it's lower, that much lower even. That's a weird number to me. Right there.
I think part of it is because oddsmakers expecting an uptick in their passing game. Maybe a little less reliance on their running game. But I agree with you. I think you know, the passing game, just like anything, opens up the running game a little bit too, right? So,
Andy Reid is the smartest coach, and he knows exactly what to do. And if everybody's questioning what they're going to do this year, go back to basics. They're going to run the ball. Right. If he can't get to Kelce, if he can't get to these three receivers, because, you know, there's nobody's established there with him, you know.
Yeah. It's still a top three offensive line that can keep on running that ball. And I think it's going to be even more effective with the better passing.
Pacheco's one of the best bets out there at 900.5 yards minus 115. I think that's
Love that. Okay, let's take let's get to your take on a few hyped up teams. I'm going to skip over the NFC East just for time. We're going to ask Roxanne about the NFC East, but that's probably a little bit more for Chris anyway, right? Giants, Eagles, Cowboys. I love to talk about the NFC East, but let's talk about these hyped up teams instead. Texans, Jets, and Bears. You take all three of them, any one of them that you want, but are you buying the hype on any of these teams, and why or why not?
No, I'm not buying the hype on any of them. I want one of them to surprise me. The Texans, they surprised us last year, right? So if they do good this year, that's not surprising. They are young. They, I'm sure, had tons of fun last year thinking we got a rookie quarterback. We don't know what's going to happen. They made it to the playoffs. That was fun, and they all got a taste of it. And everybody's so quiet. Nobody's talking about the Texans. The Texans are not being talked about. I'm telling you, you go look on things. They're very – and sometimes it's better to be that team because then you're going to come out and surprise people. That would be the one that I would want my bets on, would be the Texans. They have a good solid group, and Stroud, I think, can lead a team. Look what he did last year. Like, that's amazing, right? Like, you don't see that often. And here in Denver, we're like, God, I hope that happens. Let's not. You know, that's very rare for that to happen.
Very rare for a rookie quarterback, yeah.
That would be my best bet. The Bears, Williams, Odunze, I think they're hyping them up way too much. They're setting them up for failure. It's a new team. They're rebuilding. You don't win when you're rebuilding. You rebuild this year and you win next year, right? And the year's coming. To expect what happened to the Texans last year to happen with all these new teams, and I think that's what people are going off of, and it can, but it doesn't always happen like that. And for all these teams, for that to happen, no, it's not going to happen for all of them. I think the Texans have the best chance. Of course, you have your Jets there, and I was 100% in on Aaron Rodgers last year. Can he stay healthy? Maybe. Is he as good as he used to be? I don't think so. I've never been an Aaron Rodgers fan. He's not my guy. I think he's arrogant. In fact, I used to stay away from him until last year in fantasy football, and he taught me why.
until he got injured in week one.
Oh my God, it was so horrible.
Yeah.
But if that team can come together with that defense,
yeah.
Oh boy, watch out.
Yeah,
he might be pissed, and if they do, and if they can, but what we've seen in training camp, they're not getting along well. He's not being nice. He's the normal Aaron Rodgers that he is, and maybe that works for some people, maybe it doesn't, but I don't think the arrogant, pushy, rude, yelling at your teammates in front of everybody is the way to go, ever. I think that's embarrassing for the other person. I think if you have a problem, let's talk about it later and see how it translates on the field tomorrow's practice. I think he's kind of rude. That's all. And people might like, screw him. I don't want to do good. Or they could be like, hey, we can make it to pretty far with this guy. Let's do what he says. You have to go one way or the other. And if everybody can get on board with him, sure, they could be good. Breece Hall, like, I was looking at his yards also. His yards are 1,050 and a half, so 1,051, minus 110. And he only ran for 994 last year. So that seems like a really high jump for me to take. Is Aaron Rodgers, is he going to throw the ball more? Because why wouldn't he? It's Aaron Rodgers. That's what he does. He has Garrett Wilson. He's got people he can throw to. Why would, of course, it's Breece Hall. You're going to give it to him. But 56 more yards with Aaron Rodgers coming back, the guy that's going to throw the ball? Not sure about that bet.
Yeah.
That one's, I don't know what I would take there. I don't know if I'd go over or under.
I love Breece Hall as a running back. I mean, I think he could be the best running back in the NFL if he's in the right situation. I think he's in a pretty good situation, right? But their offensive line is always in flux. But, I like that. See, sounds like you're probably not going back to the Jets in fantasy this season very much. And I agree with that notion, because when you have a defense that's that good, right? Like, they hung in games, they won games solely because of their defense. And there's not a weakness in that group. I mean, not that I see anyway. You know, defensive line, linebacker crew, and secondary. You could say they have top three players multiple in all three of those stages. So they might not need to produce a explosive, consistent offense every single week, right? And then we got Nathaniel Hackett, who is clearly somebody who Aaron Rodgers just wants to have appease him. I don't hate Aaron, and I could see the value in Aaron, and he draws eyes, but I agree with you. He's definitely a diva, and I think he likes to talk down to people, which is not going to – I like that Garrett Wilson was giving it right back to him.
Me too.
Because that's what he needs, right? He needs back and forth, right? We don't need Aaron Rodgers to be talking down to anyone anymore, right. But it's just going to be an interesting –
Let him know you heard him, and you're not going to talk to me that way.
Right. But, Robert Saleh doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to take that either, and that's absolutely going to happen. In season, they're going to spat, and I'm just really interested in how – because quarterback-coach dynamic is one of the things I handicap the most, and I think in these big pressure situations, it can have a great effect. It can have a very positive effect, like Mahomes, Andy Reid. It can have a very negative effect, too, and I think we might see some of that with the Jets this season. I have some disagreement about the Texans. Maybe it's just because I'm hearing about them everywhere I look, but CJ Stroud has that show on HBO with Micah Parsons now. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting a little bit of regression, because I think the Titans could be a little better than people think. The Jaguars want to get back to kind of a revenge year coming for them. And then, of course, you have the Colts, who are as feisty as it gets. The Colts could be a very good team, I think. I think Shane Steichen is a damn good coach. I think Anthony Richardson has high upside. So it's just now the Texans have a bullseye on their back, right? So I would lean to the under in their win total. Probably a team I'm still going to bet on.
Is it 11.5 or 10.5?
The Texans are 9.5, but mega juiced to the over. Well, I mean, from what I'm seeing currently now, markets change. Some markets might offer 10.5 with a plus money to the over. But I think that's going to be tough for the Texans.
I think 11 games is tough for anybody.
Yeah. And again, one injury to CJ Stroud. I know that team is loaded, but CJ Stroud was protected well. He still has a good offensive line, but that team does rely on him, right? That was not a great team before him. So,
right. Oh, no.
Of course, they brought in a lot of new players, but he's kind of one of one. He's in that top tier of quarterback, I think, already from what we saw last year. So we don't know how that team's going to function without him. And you don't bet on win totals because of prospective injuries. but he's just had a cakewalk so far,
right?
In a lot of ways, right? So teams targeting him a little bit more now. It's going to be interesting this season.
Roxanne, right, and they're going to figure him out, right? That's what you do. That's what defenses do. We figure him out, except Mahomes. Nobody can figure Mahomes and
that's
Kelsey
right.
out.
But they adjust. They adjust, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Lamar Jackson, right? A lot of people thought that he was going to be the you can't crack his code. And
right.
The defensive coordinators adjusted, and especially in the playoffs, they do a pretty damn good job. Roxanne, we're running low on time here, so I just want to ask you before I let you go, put you on the spot one more time, any look-ahead fantasy prop, season long, any kind of bets that you want to tell our audience about that you would highly recommend?
I did. I found one the other day just for fun, and nobody has to go along with it. But Marvin Harrison Jr., one game, 200 yards receiving, plus 850.
One game, 200 yards?
Yeah.
Oh, I could definitely see that.
With 100%. Kyler Murray and that offense, like, I really, like, I'm believing the hype on him. And I think, like, I saw that bet and I'm like, plus 850, like, that's, it'll be 192.5 he'll get.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I like that you brought that up because I don't think a lot of people are talking about the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
And, I don't know if the Arizona Cardinals are going to be, like, in quotes, a good team this season. But I think they're going to be a frequent against the spread, like heavy pooch, right? Like we're seeing that week one at Buffalo, they're plus 7. A lot of people are going to agree with that number. I don't. I think it should be more like 6. And I think that the Cardinals could be feisty. They had a great draft, arguably the best draft in the NFL this season for any team. And Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr. could be absolutely lethal, right? Like they have a few other targets now too. So I totally agree with that. I mean, they have a professional running back in James Conner. Kyler Murray is a talented kid. He may play too much Call of Duty, but he can still toss the pigskin.
He can sling a ball. I think his height stops him a little bit. If he was taller, he would be like, wow.
Oh yeah. He'd be sick. And maybe a little bit of a mental adjustment, with some things, mentality.
But Marvin Harrison there, I've taken him in quite a few drafts. I'm pretty excited to see that right there. Yeah. And like you said, nobody's talking about the Cardinals. They're like another quiet team under the radar. Yeah. This injury, that injury, maybe they'll be good. But I think they are super sneaky. And I think Marvin Harrison, I wish I would have looked what his season long was.
Well, plus 850 for one 200-yard game is great value. And, he's going to face a few cupcake defenses. Seattle is starting to really regress defensively as far as that goes in their own division. So there could definitely be some opportunities there. I love it, Roxanne. Free bet from Queen Roxanne on Marvin Harrison Jr. to have a 200-plus-yard game this season. Hopefully it doesn't end at 195. but we will see what happens there. Queen, it was great to have you on the show. I love having a queen on the show. I love calling you queen. Just sounds like a badass, like wrestling gimmick or something. The queen. and we would love to have you back sometime in the season, maybe talk a little mid-season, regroup, review fantasy-wise how you're doing. And once again, tell our audience where they can find you so that they can keep on getting your great takes.
I do a wide receiver cornerback article at Club Fantasy FFL. You can find them at Club Fantasy FFL on Twitter. I also do, like you said, hockey, basketball, and football bets at the Sports Affiliation. You can find them at the Sports Affiliation on Twitter. We have a website. We have Discords, TikToks. There's a lot going on there, and we're just expanding. We'll be at the expo this weekend, the Fantasy Football Expo, trying to get our name out. And
love that. Cool. Well, F Queen Roxanne on Twitter. Follow her immediately. She deserves a lot more followers, and track her throughout the season because you're going to be able to get probably Josh Allen interception spikes, these big value plays. Love it, Roxanne. I'm a fan. You have great content, from across the board, really, right? From your betting to the things that you are all about, the things that you value in life. And, I didn't give you a spot, so why don't you end this podcast for us just saying a little bit briefly about responsible gaming, because I don't think it's talked about enough.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that.
You guys need to be responsible. Like, all the cappers on Twitter, everybody's following them. They got green slips, all this. They give you no write-ups. They don't tell you why they're taking these bets, and they put them out after they win. right?
Always.
Well, that does me no good. First of all, know who you're tailing. Make sure they have write-ups. You're really good about your write-ups. Like I told you, I really appreciate all your write-ups. You put a lot of research in. Find those people that are doing the research. That if somebody's telling you they're winning all the time, they're not. First of all, you don't want to follow them. Find people that are honest. You put your units, you put everything up very transparent for everybody. And I love that. Don't follow these crazy accounts that are just throwing it all in your face right now on Twitter and these places. Don't pay them money. You don't need to pay for a Discord. I've heard those Discords, like they put like 1,000 bets in a day. And if you find the right combination of the ones you want to pick, you know, and I'm like, that just sounds like too much for me. Find one person you like or a few people and follow them and go from there. Don't chase bets after losing. Like the football season's really easy with that, especially on Sundays. You get 11, 2, and then your night games. You lose at 11 o'clock. You can bet those 2 o'clock games. You could don't like set your bets for each time slot, each game, whether they win or lose. That's it. Don't try and chase, because chasing bets is, it doesn't usually work out for you, because you're thinking, I got to win this and I got to win the money I lost. And you're making crazy bets that probably aren't going to hit for later. Don't make a lot of bets. Like, there's people out there that are betting. I've seen like 60 bets in a day. You know, like, what the hell are you doing? How many do you really expect to hit out of 60 bets? Right? I don't believe in, that's just me. I believe in bigger money on smaller bets. Believe in what you're betting. If you believe that Josh Allen's going to have an interception, put all your money on it. Who cares if you lose? You know, you're not stressing the rest of the day on, oh my God, is this 58th bet going to hit? And probably not, you know. And when you do win, take your money out. Like, you need to withdraw some of that money. Leave it. Say you won $500 and your bet was 50. Take your $50 bet out and decide before, if you hit that $500 bet, what you want to take out, how much you want to withdraw. Normally I would take out probably 300, you know, and leave my $50 bet and another 200 in there to gamble. You have to withdraw money because they, just like gambling, casinos, all of it, they'll take your money back. They will take it back. So those are my tips.
I love it. You heard it here first. Well, you heard it probably before, but not enough. And I especially love what you said about minimizing the bets that you have. Not enough pro sports bettors, especially, or anyone trying to put out content, says that, because they want people to read about their bets. I get it, right? We all want traction and content, but the sports books are really good at what they do. So minimizing your exposure is huge. Thank you so much, Queen Roxanne. We'll have you back very soon.
Thank you.